You're listening to The Martial Brain, the podcast that explores the intersection between the martial arts, science, critical thinking, skepticism, and that wacky organ that floats inside our skulls in a pool of cerebral spinal fluid, making life unpredictably inspiring, infuriating, and sometimes just batshit crazy. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. Didn't history already happen? Part 4. Last time, I talked about how the Roman Empire had power, wealth, and global reach that was singularly exceptional in world history up to that point. And it maintained that peak for at least four centuries of its 2,000-year existence. Then a process started in the 5th century CE, in which its western half began to disintegrate into a group of kingdoms ruled by men from various Germanic tribal confederations. Traditionally, many people looked upon this political change as a huge earth-shaking event that shattered society and kicked off the period called the Dark Ages. But it turns out that, while the Western Roman Empire did cease to exist as a political entity, life for the average citizen went on with little change. In a way, it was like when the company you work for is bought by another company, but they let you keep your job. Someone else signs the paychecks, but otherwise, life goes on pretty much as it had before. Not exactly the dawn of the Dark Ages. But it's also true that within a couple of centuries after the disintegration of the Western Empire, the population in its former territory had dropped dramatically. Long-distance trade was now minimal or non-existent. Many cities were abandoned or only inhabited by a few squatters. The standard of living was down to subsistence farming for most people. So what happened in those two centuries? That has long been a subject of debate among historians. As I stated in the last few episodes, much of what we know about history is from written records, and the written records from this period are sparse at best. Those few who did write the records, like all humans, frequently had an agenda to support, and sometimes their written records read more like propaganda. The truth is, for a long time, we haven't been sure what brought on this collapse. But there is always an objective truth out there to be found, even if we have yet to find it. Wait, this sounds like a job for
science, 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 science.
Moving us closer to the objective truth is the literal job description of critical thinking skills and scientific methodology. Science is the study of the natural world, and the natural world has rhythms. The sun has alternating periods of activity, intense at some times and less so at others, significantly affecting our climate. The weather has natural rhythms, from hot to cold and back, and from wet to dry and back. When there are variations and anomalies in these rhythms, it leaves distinct traces on the environment around us, there to read for those who know the code. Dendrochronology is the science of establishing timelines based on the analysis of tree rings, and it turns out that they also contain data about the level of solar activity. Ice cores, taken in Greenland and Antarctica, have readable layers for each year that tell us about what the temperature range was in any given year, and contain important information about major volcanic eruptions. Stalactites and stalagmites in our caves also have distinct annual rings that carry information about rainfall. Freshwater lakes lay down annual layers of sediment called varves that contain a wealth of information about the history of the climate. In the last few decades, with the advancement of technology and drawing on huge sample sizes of data, the ability of scientists to read these traces and compare them one against the other has grown exponentially, allowing them to construct an amazingly detailed timeline of the climate. In this case, it turns out that there was a period of time very important to our story that scientists now call the Roman climatic optimum, centered on the period from 200 BCE to 150 CE. This was caused by a combination of sustained increased solar activity with a marked and freakishly anomalous statistical reduction in major volcanic eruptions around the planet. That all translates to a period of fantastic climatic conditions for people in the Mediterranean region. I know that I sometimes refer to the Golden Age fallacy on this podcast, but as the climate goes, this was a truly golden age for this area of the world. During this period, the weather was consistently warm and wet, friendly and reliable to farmers, much more so than it had been before or would be afterwards, even much better than it is today. For example, based on the climate as it is now, we tend to think of the countries of North Africa and the Near East, like Libya, Egypt, Israel, and Syria, as arid desert regions. But during the Roman climatic optimum, these areas were lush and green, providing bumper crops of food sufficient for the entire empire, and more. Even many areas of the interior of North Africa, deep in the heart of what is now the Sahara Desert, were green with plant life. This climatic optimum was in full swing during the period called the Pax Romana that I described last episode. As a matter of fact, the two periods coincide so nearly exactly that it's probably no accident. This begins to answer a different question than the one that goes, why did Rome fall when it did? That question is, why did Rome last as long as it did? Well, it turns out that at least part of the reason was sheer dumb luck. The climatic optimum led to a surplus of food, which led to widespread prosperity. Prosperity helps to mitigate the human stressors to a civilization. Well-fed people are happy and productive. The population grows, increasing the tax base, growing the treasury, and allowing for more public works and more effective military. Neighboring countries are less likely to cause mischief in times of plenty. Trade expands, enriching the entire civilization. As I said, this climatic bonus persisted at a peak for almost four centuries. Please understand that I'm not saying that climate is the only reason for the empire's success during this period. Humans are perfectly capable of screwing up a good thing, of killing the goose that lays the golden egg. But a fairly consistent string of highly competent emperors during this period made sure that that didn't happen. But finally, the statistical reality known as reversion to the mean occurred, which in simpler language means that anomalies don't last forever. So late in the second century, the climate began to return to its previous state. This climate change resulted in gradually lower agricultural yields, which would surely have been a major stressor on any civilization. The empire's military, financial, administrative, and civil institutions, however, were robust, a fact which allowed it to handle the stress for a while. Then, in the middle of the 3rd century CE, a long period of political, financial, and military crises rocked the empire. In 1 year alone, assassination and civil war resulted in 6 different emperors. Towards the end of the 3rd century, a series of competent generals served as emperors, however, somewhat righting the ship of state. One of these general/emperors, Diocletian, enacted a series of reforms, one of which was to split the empire into 2 halves, Eastern and Western, in order to make it easier to govern. And each half had 2 emperors, a senior and a junior, as it were, to make things easier to administer. Things went along like this, staying more stable for a while longer, but the quality of the climate continued its gradual decline. Over time, the tax base shrunk, and money got much tighter. The gap between the rich and the poor grew wider, and many of the rich resisted paying taxes. Rebellion and civil war occurred much more frequently. The barbarians on the frontiers grew much more troublesome. During all this, a 40-year-long drought occurred in Central Asia, from 338 to 377. Now, such an event is always tragic, but it may also be hugely significant for our story. The drought probably caused a lot of disruption among the myriad tribes and confederations in the center of this huge continent. One particular confederation of these peoples began moving west and south, picking up allies from some of the new people they met on the way, and subjugating others that they defeated in battle. They would come to be known in Europe as the Huns. No single group of people in their path could effectively resist these Asiatic horse archers and their allies. The first result of this phenomenon that was felt in Rome was the appearance of hundreds of thousands of Germanic refugees, called Goths, that were fleeing the Huns, gathering at the Roman border. Now, barbarian incursions had happened through much of Rome's history, but this was the beginning of a series of interactions between the empire and a number of huge confederations of various ethnic makeups that was of a magnitude far greater than what had come before, and that would continue long after the western half of the Roman Empire had ceased to exist. A couple of decades later, the Huns themselves appeared at the northeastern borders of the empire. They raided, invaded, fought with, and drained the resources of the empire, making themselves a giant pain in the ass for decades. Through all this, civil wars within the empire continued to happen regularly, in the end drastically reducing the size of the Roman army. This manpower shortage prodded the imperial government into soliciting the military help of friendlier barbarian tribes to assist in the defense of the borders, in return for allowing them to settle inside the borders. As a matter of fact, by this point there were huge sections of the empire, especially in the west, that had been settled by Goths, Franks, Vandals, Burgundians, Alans, and Suevi, sometimes with the permission of the government, and sometimes without it. Thus, in many, if not most cases, these people were more like legal or illegal immigrants than like howling, raping, pillaging invaders. The Huns finally reached something of a state of equilibrium with the Roman Empire, and they settled down into the borders of their own empire in what is now Eastern Europe, the Caucasus region, and parts of what is now Russia. In the meantime, Germanic barbarians had become so influential, so intertwined politically and militarily in the Western Roman Empire, that German generals were frequently the real holders of political power there. They knew that they could not take the title of emperor, at least for the present, because of the racial prejudice against them from the rich elite families of Roman society. This situation went on until finally, in 476 CE, the last Western Roman emperor, Romulus Augustulus, was deposed, and no emperor was named in his place. Instead, a German general from the Roman army, named Odoacer, declared himself to be the king of Italy. This is usually marked in history books as the end of the Western Roman Empire. But this was not the end of the Roman culture or economy as they had been. Those proceeded with little change for quite some time. No, the end of the reign of the last emperor was not the moment in which the Dark Ages began. So what was? Well, this week I have described how recent scientific findings helped to explain the explosive growth and success of the Roman Empire during the Pax Romana, and how it gradually began its decline. Next week I'll describe how the scientific evidence helps to explain the onset of the Dark Ages. Anyway, that's what I think. But I could be wrong. Let me know what you think. And check out old episodes of the Martial Brain podcast at my website, rpmartialarts.com. I'm Jeff Westfall for the Martial Brain. The Martial Brain is produced by Raging Squirrel Productions in association with the Rising Phoenix Martial Arts Academy. If you like the podcast and would like to help it grow, go to iTunes or Stitcher and give it an honest rating and review. Contact me with questions about the Martial Brain or about the Rising Phoenix Academy at my website, rpmartialarts.com.